This meeting is now being recorded.
Let me just start with a few things. I'm going to focus more on the accountability track. Manal and Mohammed with the IANA coordination group, obviously very involved in what is happening with the IANA stewardship transition part, that is mainly around the contract part. And then the area I'll focus on is much more around the accountability, which is a process running in parallel that had arisen with the announcement by MTIA. But let me start first for those who may not be so familiar with ICANN, just in case for any of the participants. The organization has responsibility at a global level and through a multi-stakeholder process to coordinate the Internet's unique identifier system. And that includes around bottom-up consensus policy and anything that touches upon it. Now, clearly, with regard to the protocol parameter space and the numbering space, the policy-making process is very much within those communities and within the naming community that happens within the CCNSO and the GNSO within the ICANN structure. And so it's important that the communities themselves are developing the process in a bottom-up way. Let me also touch briefly on what the IANA functions themselves are. They are a very specific area with regards to the unique identifier system, originally begun through a research project supported by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Advanced Research Projects Agency. And the reason I raise this is that it's also part of the historical relationship of the IANA functions and of ICANN with the U.S. administration. The functions include the coordination of the assignment of the technical internet protocol parameters, the administration of certain responsibilities around the DNS, so the naming space, .com, .net might be some familiar ones, and the allocation of the internet IP addressing, IPv4 and IPv6. And when ICANN was created, it was actually created to perform the IANA functions, and it's done that pursuant to a no-cost contract with the Department of Commerce for over 15 years. When we talk about multi-stakeholder, I know many of us are familiar with it in different contexts, including through the Internet Governance Forum and the World Summit on Information Society and many of the discussions around that. In the context within ICANN, the multi-stakeholder and stakeholders refer to anyone who has an interest in the Internet, namely the large and small businesses, the technical community, governments, end users, civil society, researchers, and academics. And working through bottom-up consensus building, really through models that have been tested and tried to resist capture because of the openness and diversity and the ability for anyone to participate. And with ICANN's private sector-led multi-stakeholder community, we've been able to support much of the work that goes around along with the other operational communities. This just depicts today's communities and the different participants. And as one sees, while the different stakeholder communities work with themselves on reaching consensus on certain policies, it's also a matter then of coming together and reaching decisions on issues that impact the global community. So this really brings us to where we were with the announcement a bit over a year ago now. About the U.S. intention to transition its stewardship role of the IANA functions to the global stakeholder community. And it asks ICANN to convene this process and to ensure that that we're facilitating the process at a global level. And the administration, the U.S. administration's announcement really marks the final phase of the privatization of the DNS, the final phase of this transition to the multi-stakeholder communities, and it further supports and enhances the multi-stakeholder model as far as internet policy making and governance goes on a global level. So oftentimes it's asked, well, why does this actually matter? Much of it is a historical reason. It was always intended to be transitioned. The IANA functions were always intended to be transitioned to the multi-stakeholder community. It also matters to different stakeholders. There's almost $8 trillion worth of services that exchange hands each year through e-commerce. And this is a result of the success of a global single interoperable internet that is secure and stable. Business has an important seat at the table with regard to this conversation. And if we're looking at the next billion internet users who will be connected from all parts of the world, including and in particular from the developing countries, it's very important that we keep a single global interoperable internet. And it seems that the full U.S. oversight of the IANA functions is no longer an optimal situation to have in this new global landscape. And as a result, clearly the transition is important for the secure and stable internet. From a technical community standpoint, the services have also been core and critical to the use of the Internet Protocol Parameter Space. And for several years, the technical community has also called for a transition of this stewardship role and for the end of the NTIA contract. And so you'll have seen many of the discussions also from the technical community around that side. It also has mattered to governments, and the transition has been an important part for governments, especially with regards to their responsibility over the internet public policy issues. The success of this transition is seen as very, very important, also from the governmental lens, and it's come up in many of the discussions around internet policy and internet governance issues globally. And, of course, for civil society, it's also been an important topic for many of the discussions. And as you can see, very active engagement by civil society in the transition discussions. So when NTIA made its announcement, it did set forward certain requirements and certain principles that needed to be followed in the IANA coordination group that Manal and Mohammed will be speaking to are also looking at their proposal with regards to this. The criteria really set out were to support and enhance the multi-stakeholder model to maintain the security and stability and resiliency of the Internet DNS, not just on a technical standpoint, but also on the stakeholder engagement and opportunity to participate in light of ensuring prevention of capture by any particular group that might have an impact on security and stability, going back to the importance of the multi-stakeholder model. To meet the needs and expectations of the global customers and partners of the IANA services, namely the customers I mentioned earlier, and importantly to maintain the openness of the Internet. They were also very specific that it will not accept a proposal that replaces the NTIA role with any sort of government-led or intergovernmental organization solution. And that's an important part of the dialogue that's occurring moving forward. So as I mentioned at the start, there were we have two parallel processes. One is the IANA stewardship transition, which is focused on delivering the proposal to the transition of the IANA functions to the multi-stakeholder community. And the second is enhancing ICANN accountability, which is really focused on ensuring that ICANN remains accountable in the absence of its historical contractual relationship with the U.S. administration. And so as a result, we have two separate processes that we're facilitating, and Mohammed and Manal will speak obviously to the first. This is a diagram just providing an overview of both the operational community work leading into the IANA coordination group and their proposal, which is the ICG, and then the separate parallel track that's very interconnected with regards to the accountability. And what's important to note is that the accountability proposal will likewise be provided to the ICANN board and then transmitted over to NTIA and does need to demonstrate that it likewise meets the criteria that have been set out by NTIA when they made their announcement. So let me touch briefly on where we are with the accountability work. Again, the initial discussion took place with the announcement of NTIA on the 14th of March of last year, and it was really intended to look at Is there anything, and if so, what needs to be strengthened around accountability with regards to the changing contractual relationship with ICANN, that of the U.S. administration, and the relationship, if some had perceived that it's a backstop with regards to our organization-wide accountability, and so to look at that from a broader perspective. In looking at the accountability process, it was decided to look at what's called two work streams. One were the mechanisms to enhance the accountability that had to be in place or committed to within the time frame of the IANA stewardship transition, that is, in the time frame of the transition of NTIA's role in the context of the IANA contract. The second work stream is really intended to look at accountability topics which have a much longer time frame. In the discussions around ICANN's accountability with regards to Workstream 1, there were some topics identified that are very helpful and important to ICANN's overall evolution. And as you know, we have existing accountability mechanisms in place and review mechanisms of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. But there were some topics that were identified that were in addition to that. So those were put into Workstream 2 and will be worked on as soon as Workstream 1 is completed. So in looking at the accountability framework by the CCWG, the working group, they looked at four different areas, building blocks, that would really serve as the mechanisms to improve ICANN's accountability. And those were around the role of the ICANN community, so the supporting organizations and the advisory committees, that multi-stakeholder diagram I showed you earlier, the ICANN board, which has the ultimate authority to approve or reject policy recommendations, principles to guarantee the mission and commitments and core values of ICANN through its bylaws, and any improvements around the independent appeals mechanism. And with regards to these four buckets or four building blocks, they identified enhancements in these contexts to improve the accountability. The first was to note that there were certain areas that really required the community to have an additional role. And so they're looking at how does one have an empowered community? And that refers to the powers that allow the community through the SOs and the ACs, the supporting organizations or advisory committees, to take action should ICANN breach any of the principles with regard to certain bylaw provisions or budget or strategic planning. They also looked at, in the context of the ICANN board, obviously it serves as, what, if you want to label it, the executive, and the authority of the supporting organizations or the empowered community to either review and reject budget, strategic plan, or any bylaw provisions, also looking at the ability to remove or recall the board, individual members of the board, or the entire board. And as a cross-check to the empowered community, within our bylaw provisions, we have the structural reviews of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. And so that serves as a mechanism for also a counter-check, obviously, to the empowered community. They also looked at identifying some new provisions for the fundamental bylaws, with fundamental bylaws requiring a higher threshold for rejection and looking at incorporating the advisory, the affirmation of commitment review mechanisms into the bylaws, and then strengthening the independent appeals mechanism, including the independent review process. On looking at the empowered community powers, I had mentioned earlier, these powers would also go into five distinct areas. One would be to reconsider or reject budget or strategic and operating plan. That is, in the context if the board did not take into account community input through its existing processes or enhanced processes. With regards to reconsidering or rejecting changes to the ICANN standard bylaw, looking at empowering the community with regards to approving or changing anything with regards to fundamental bylaws, namely those bylaws that require a higher threshold review, the removal of individual ICANN board of directors, or the recall of the entire board in very exceptional circumstances. As I mentioned earlier, there's two work streams. The possible tracks for implementation of work stream one, you'll see on the slide to the left, with the time frame being in the context of transition of the IANA stewardship contract. And those include the areas I'd identified earlier, as well as the incorporation of the affirmation of commitment reviews into the bylaws. And looking at how to strengthen those reviews by putting them into the bylaws themselves. I mentioned earlier that there's elements for consideration for Workstream 2, and those are listed on the right-hand side of the slide, and go very much more around enhancing the SO and AC accountability mechanisms themselves, considering improvements around diversity to build on existing work that's happening currently, and refining some of the operational details identified in Workstream 1, and you'll see the list there. In the Workstream 2 areas will begin around October, November, and go into 2016. They are not interdependent with the transition of the NTA surgical with regards to the ICANN contract. The naming community in particular had also identified some areas that the accountability process needed to look at in relationship to their proposal. And this slide demonstrates that the listing areas of what those are and then in the context of whether the CCWG accountability proposal meets those requirements. And the feedback from the naming community has been that the CCWG accountability proposal does meet the requirements around the budget that had been raised by the naming community with regards to the ability to appoint or remove members of the board, the ability to look at incorporating provisions of the naming community proposal into the bylaws, the role of the independent review panel, and the higher threshold of the fundamental bylaws and incorporation of key provisions within the fundamental bylaws. So the next steps with regards to the accountability is that we're currently in a public comment period. I'd encourage everybody to take a look at the proposal, to review it, and to provide input through the public comment process, which is open until September 12th. If you have any questions about this, please don't hesitate to send emails to the email at the bottom of the slide, accountability-staff@icann.org. And if you have any questions about the proposal, please don't hesitate to let us know. We can also point you to the chairs and members of the CCWG on accountability proposal as well for them to answer any questions. The tail of the two public comment periods here are running in parallel, so I know that there's quite a bit to review. The IANA Coordination Group, the ICG public comment period runs until September 8th, and the one for the accountability process runs until September 12th. So it's a busy time for the public comment process. This slide is just to depict on a higher level where we are overall. Right now, we're in the community proposal and public comment period. As you can see with the orange to the left, this is going to be an important part of obviously the entire process in showing consensus. We would then, upon receipt of the proposal, move into essentially what's referred to as phase two. This is the time frame when NTIA, Department of Commerce, will review and evaluate the proposal. And it's anticipated that this will be about 4 to 5 months including a congressional review period, which would be reviewing the delivery of the NCIA review of their proposal, certification by them that it meets the criteria, and then a very short congressional review period, which is 30 legislative days, not actual days, but legislative days. And then upon sign-off from that, we would look at the stewardship transition and the final implementation process moving forward. So this diagram depicts the time frame. One thing that will be started on in the context of bylaw changes and drafting, those areas, some of the work has already begun with ICANN and the community, because part of the provision for the NTA review process and the providing it for the final sign-off is the incorporation already in adoption of any bylaw changes that need to be reflected in the final transition. So please get involved, and please do participate in the public comment period and reach out to any of us if you have any questions. There's also been several webinars held by the CCWG on accountability, and I know also in the context of the ICG, and those are online and recorded, and please feel free to also listen to those. And this slide provides information on how to submit any public comments, and the information is right there. And Bahir, maybe one can circulate that information to the participants as well, so they have that information on hand. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, either now or after Manal and Mohammed has completed their presentation.
Thank you, Teresa. Now we'll move to the next part. So I'll hand it over to Manal and Mohammed.
Thank you very much, Bahir. My name is Mohammed Al-Bashir. I will be presenting you the ICG transition proposal with my colleague, Manal Ismail. So basically on the presentation agenda, we will go through the transition proposal, the combined proposal that the ICG has finalized. And we will also give you more details about the operational communities proposals, and also details about the comment period and how you can participate and submit comments. So I think we can start by what are the IANA functions and why it's important. I guess Teresa has touched on that, but basically there are customers of the IANA functions, and those customers are numbers, communities, the region internet registries, and the protocol parameters community represented by the IATF. And the domain names community represented by registries and CCTLDs and users of the DNS. And those three community stakeholders, they rely on the IANA function for their operations. And we as end users rely on IANA functions to use the internet basically, to visit websites, to host our content. So it's a very core technical function, but it's a very important function for the operation of the internet. So what is the role of the U.S. government within this function? I mean, historically, really, and legacy-wise, due to history reasons, the internet has been developed in the U.S., and the U.S. government has a role in terms of the development of the internet at early stages. So the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, which is part of the Department of Commerce of the U.S. government, have a contract with ICANN, which ICANN manages the IANA functions, and that contract have an oversight. So basically, ICANN performs the IANA functions, and NTIA have an oversight on that performance and ensure that that is done according to the procedures and everything is in place. We started this process in March 2014. So basically when the NTIA has announced that the U.S. government plans to give up this stewardship role and transfer this role to the global internet community, NTIA has asked ICANN to convene a process to develop a transitional proposal, and it outlined certain criteria for that transition proposal. So the main important criteria produced by NTIA that the proposal should enhance the multi-stakeholder model and should ensure the stability and security of the DNS system. Besides, it should meet the expectations of the global internet community. It means that it needs to be developed in a bottom-up process where the different communities and could and stakeholders could participate and have their say in the process. And importantly, the proposal should maintain the openness of the internet. NTIA expectation that ICANN board should be happy or support the proposals coming from the community, and that should be the same proposal should be sent to NTIA through the ICANN board as a matter of procedure without any updates. And if there is comments from ICANN, it will be attached as comments. So if you look at the timeline currently in the slide, we started at March 2014, and then mid-July, the ICG, or the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, ICG, has been formed. And ICG is basically about 13 members representing different stakeholders engaged or interested in this process, including governments, registries, CCTLD registries. There is internet user representatives like myself. So it's a group of internet experts from different communities. ICG has issued a request for proposal in September 2014, and it asked the three operational communities, which is basically the naming community, the DNS community within ICANN, and the numbers, the region internet registries communities, and the protocol communities represented by the IETF, to submit their proposals. The proposals were developed in a bottom-up process, received, and ICG worked on combining the three proposals on a final proposal, which is currently under public comment from 31st July to 8th September. So basically the individual proposals were developed in a bottom-up process. Each community had its consultation process within the community, either in public comments periods or meetings or working groups, and mailing lists were open. Specific mailing lists have been established to discuss the transition proposal by each community. So the final product is a proposal that have met the requirement of the NTIA in terms of the community engagement in it. And basically, ICG have looked at the three proposals and combined them together in a final proposal, which is currently under comments period. Now I hand it over to Manal to give you update about the NAMES community transition proposal. Manal, please.
Thanks, Mohammed, and thanks, Teresa. Quickly before getting into the details of the named community proposal, let's take a quick look at how the domain namespace looks like. The domain namespace is hierarchical in nature. It starts by the root at the very top of the DNS tree, and then comes the top-level domain names, and those include the generic domain names such as org.com, net, and others, many, many others, and also the country code top-level domains, or what we call the CCTLDs, and those are domains like .us, .lb, .eg, which represents the country name, and both categories may be in Latin or Latin script, which we call the IDNs. And then further down the tree comes other levels, such as the second, third, and so on. So the IANA basically do the management and administrative work needed to maintain this root zone and the TLDs. So what are the various types of requests that the community submit to the IANA, and how does the registry entry for a TLD look like? A typical registry entry of a TLD has information that includes who the operator of the TLD is, what the contact information for this TLD is, also technical configuration information that has to do with the authorized name servers for a certain TLD, and also links to where the metadata for this TLD resides. So the IANA basically actions either in response to change requests submitted by TLD registries, but also clerical day-to-day tasks that have to do with keeping the service up and running. A subset of the types of change requests that could be made to the IANA includes the root zone change requirements, such as changing the NS records, for example. The root zone, who is changed request management, if someone needs to change the contact information, TLD's delegation and redelegation requests that has to do with changing the TLD administrator, and also at the operational level, the root DNS sec key management, which has to do with the electronic signing of the information in a domain name, the management of repository of IDN practices, for TLDs using non-Latin scripts, for example, to keep track of the allowed characters, and also to ensure that the communities using the same scripts can use the same policies. Of course, this is in addition to other root zone-related activities that have to do with the actual operations. So if we look at the names proposal itself, with respect to the current contract, I think this part has been elaborated by Mohammed a while ago. So the diagram shows the current contract and the post-transition proposal. The main highlights of the proposal are, of course, that the NCIA contract and the NCIA oversight role are going away. The IANA functions, instead of being a function within ICANN, will be legally separated and have a separate board and will work according to a contract with ICANN. It is shown here on the diagram as PTI, which stands for Post-Transition IANA. Also, the NCIA oversight role will be replaced by basically two parts of oversight. one with the Customer Standing Committee, the CSC, and the other with the IANA Functions Review, the IFR. And of course, there will be ways to escalate unresolved issues or some sort of an escalation path. And we will talk about each box of those into more details on the following slides. So the PTI is established to perform all the existing pre-transition IANA functions. This is basically everything the IANA is doing today will simply be moved to the PTI, the entire staff, related resources, processes, data, know-how, everything will be legally transferred to the PTI. And the PPI will be an affiliate or a subsidiary of ICANN, and ICANN will be responsible for its stewardship. The Customer Standing Committee, as the name implies, will be established to ensure continued satisfactory performance of the IANA naming function. So the Customer Standing Committee will take the day-to-day operations and complaints. So in other words, it will be concerned with the day-to-day oversight. The IFR or the IANA Function Review will be established to provide periodic reviews of the PPI terms to ensure accountability and quality of service. So the IFR will be making sure that the PPI is basically fulfilling everything that is in the contract. And in doing so, the IFR can also determine that complete separation between the ICANN and the PPI is needed, which would then trigger the special IFR process. Also, as highlighted by Teresa in the earlier presentation, there are dependencies for the naming proposal on the enhancing of ICANN accountability proposal. So the names proposal is expressly conditioned on the implementation of Work Stream 1 accountability proposal. It's being coordinated that accountability measures suggested by the names community be taken into consideration. Those accountability measures are listed on the slide. I won't go through them again. I think Teresa already highlighted this. Just to note that the fundamental bylaws are much more harder to change than the normal bylaws. So this is with regards to the interdependency between the CWG, the names proposal, and the CCWG accountability proposal. So again, as also highlighted earlier by Teresa, we have two parallel public comment periods. The final combined proposal of the commission that is put for public comment includes the three operational community proposals as received, as well as an executive summary and an ICG report summarizing the three proposals. So during the public comment period, we expect people to provide comments on the transition proposal under the assumption that those dependencies will be met. The ICG agreed that we will confirmation from the names community that its accountability requirements have been met once the accountability proposal of Work Stream 1 is finalized. And if those dependencies are not met, then the NAMES community will be revisiting their proposal. So this is just to highlight that people commenting on the transition proposal should assume that the interdependencies are met and base their comments on that basis. And now I'll hand Mohammed for the numbers proposal.
Thank you very much, Manal. So we'll go through the numbers community proposal. So basically, there are three main functions that are performed by IANA related to the numbers community, which is basically the first one is allocation of IP addresses and autonomous system numbers, AS numbers, to the regional internet registers, which is our AFRINIC and for Africa, Lightning for Latin America, and ARIN for North America, RIPE NCC for Europe and part of the Middle East, and APNIC for Asia Pacific. So basically, the registration of such allocations will be in IANA numbers registries. There are also some management and administration for special purposes DNS zones required by them. If you can review on this slide the current and the post-transition arrangements and the proposal of the numbers. But before that, I think it's important to stress the main principles outlined in the numbers community proposals. The community has expressed their satisfaction with the current performance of the IANA function by ICANN, did not propose any changes within ICANN for the future management. The only thing is they propose that to have a service level agreement with ICANN for the management of the IANA function. And they requested that the intellectual property related to the name IANA and IANA website, IANA.org, to be with a neutral body, and that neutral body should keep it on behalf of the global internet community. And they suggested that the review committee to be established. It will be with members from the five regional internet registries, which will review the SLA with ICANN and review the performance of the IANA function. So basically, the diagram on the right-hand side, this is the post-transition relationship between the regional internet registries and ICANN. So the review committee has members from the five regional internet registries representing the numbers community, and it will provide advice to the regional internet registries in their SLA agreement with ICANN. The numbers community outlined several principles for that service level agreement. For example, this SLA should have clear clauses about the separation of policy development and operational roles. It should describe the services provided by IANA to the RIRs and should have obligations on ICANN in terms of transparency and accountability. Should have audit requirements on IANA and how the IANA functions will be reviewed and what will happen in terms of the failure of fulfilling the performance requirement from IANA, termination clauses, and there's supposed to be clauses about continuity of operations in the case of IANA failing to continue the operations. This also needs to have dispute resolution clauses, and also if there's any fees associated with that. So they outlined what are the principles for that SLA. The intellectual property and ownership of the IANA.org domain name is one of the issues that has been identified by the ICG as a compatibility issue between the three proposals. We have the numbers and the protocol communities proposals suggesting that both intellectual property and the domain name of IANA.org to be within a neutral body, not ICANN. And basically, they've provided the preference for the IETF trust to be that entity to hold those rights, and in any case of failure of ICANN to fulfill the requirement or performance requirement of the IANA, those rights could be transferred or being given a license for another IANA function operator. So regarding the protocol parameters community proposals, so I'll just give quickly an overview about protocols and what are the protocol parameters. So protocols are the standards that ensure that our systems are interoperable and they could communicate in the internet without any issues. For example, HTTP is a protocol used for the World Wide Web. The IP is a protocol for the internet addressing. And within protocols, there are specific parameters. Could be, let's say, numbers with specific messages. So, for example, 404 in RFC 7231 means it could not be found, for example, which is we always encounter this issue online when we don't find details. So there's about almost 10,000 protocol parameters registered currently, and those parameters are very important for the interoperability of the internet. And basically, it's used by software developers, software companies, when writing softwares for the internet. Those protocol parameters are currently, let's say, registered within IANA. And the current arrangement between the IETF and ICANN, that's ICANN is performing the IANA function. There's an MOU between the IETF and ICANN. And that MOU is over, have an oversight from the Internet Architecture Board, and then definitely ICANN has a relationship with the NTIA. But post-transition, after the transition finish, IETF will have the same MOU relationship with ICANN, and IAB will be also there. Ends up having oversight of that MOU. The only difference that NTIA is now out of the picture, it's not there, and IETF and ICANN have a direct relationship with them. So the IETF community expectation that the protocol parameters still need to be on the public domain available, any changes need to be done on time, and basically, the IANA function operation is critical for this community. And I think finally, for the final part of the slides, Manal will continue. Manal.
Sorry for the interruption. Manal, if you can just wrap up in like a couple of minutes, so we keep 5 minutes for questions. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I'll try to do this quickly. This is the complete diagram putting together all the oversight components of the different proposals together. So it's simply a merge of all the post-transition oversight diagrams that we discussed earlier. So I'll proceed to the public comment part for the sake of time. So those are questions about the proposal as a whole. Again, I will not go through the reading of the questions. You can do this shortly. I just want to mention that the questions aim to seek opinions on the overall proposal. So we ask people to please mention the reasons supporting their answers. So if you agree, please explain, and if you don't, also please explain why and mention the modifications you believe are necessary. We do not really expect substantial comments on the details of the individual proposals, as those were already subject to extensive discussions and several public comment periods. But in the unlikely event that this happens, those comments will be shared with the relevant operational communities. Also, we have another set of questions about the NTIA criteria. Again, I won't go through reading the questions, but again would highlight that it would be very helpful to please mention reasons supporting your answers and mentioning the modifications needed. It's also worth noting that for us it is equally important to hear from people supporting as it is to hear from people who have concerns, as this will help us to keep record of community support to the proposal. So very quickly, how to submit comments. First of all, the comment period is open till September 8th, 2359 UTC. So if you go to the public comment website, you will find two ways to submit comments, either through an online web form to help you provide structured input, or by email, where you can either send freely emails or download the question form, fill it, and send it by email. For either option, when you submit your comments, you will receive a confirmation email, and you must click on the link included in the email in order to have your comments posted to the public archive. The questions are available on the public comment website in all six UN languages plus Portuguese. So as far as our region is concerned, you can find Arabic, English, and French versions available. Finally, if you have any questions, please send them to question-icg@ianacg.org. You may also find our FAQ still in answering some of your questions, and I'll put the URL for this in the chat room. So thank you, Baher, and thanks, Mohammed, Teresa, and everyone. Back to you, Baher. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Manan. Thank you, everyone. Now, are there any questions or comments? Those who have questions can either speak to the microphone or maybe place the question in the chat room. Okay, Saeed, I think you have your hand raised. Saeed, do you have a question?
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I couldn't connect my microphone. Can you hear me fine now?
Yeah.
I have a question about the NTIA role in PTI. I remember now mentioned that they have some role in IFR and CSC. If you could probably guide me to some documents or briefly tell me like what sort of oversight or role would they have in the two bodies in the board.
Can I answer to this?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because there is a misunderstanding, I guess. I was trying to elaborate that the current model, there is an oversight by NTIA. This is going to go away and will be replaced by other mechanisms for oversight. So the suggested oversight models for the post-transition IANA will be done through the IFR and the CSC. So those has nothing to do with the NTIA role. The NTIA role is going to be over by the end of the contract, and the new proposed oversight mechanism that is proposed by the NAMES function, by the NAMES community, is through the Customer Standing Committee and the IFR.
Thanks, Minal. Salam, I think you're next. Salam, you might want to unmute yourself.
Salam wrote a question in the chat box, and she says, did the ICG receive any comments from the Arab region?
Hi, Mohammed here. So far, there was no comment received from the Arab region, but still there is a chance for either individuals or organizations to contribute and submit their comments. Still, we have time for the until the closure of the comment period, 8th September. So I think I encourage you, either yourself or your organizations or people you know who might be interested, to submit their comments, concerns, support. Any feedback will be useful, and I think so. Our community in the previous, our region in the previous, let's say previous and different venues were very vocal about the internet governance. So this transition is very critical for the future of the internet. I think it's important we participate.
Thanks, Mohammed. There is a similar question from Saeed on government feedback or participation in public policy development for IANA transition. What level of participation is ICANN receiving from developing countries in the Asia Pacific and Middle East region? I guess at least for the Middle East, I know that the government of Iran has been very active in both processes, IANA stewardship as well as the accountability. And of course, Manal from Egypt and Mohammed from Qatar. But I'm not sure about the rest. Does anyone have anything to add here?
Yes, Behar, if I may. Yes, as you rightly mentioned, we already have five of the GAC members participating to the ICG working group. We also have five GAC members from the Governmental Advice Committee participating to the Accountability Working Group. We had so many individual governments submitting comments on the accountability work. I don't recall any from our region, but I'm not sure whether there were comments from maybe Morocco. I can't remember really now. But we had several governments commenting specifically on the accountability proposal during the first public comment period. But again, both proposals are out for public comment now, and again, as Mohammed mentioned, we still have time, so the opportunity is still there.
Okay, thank you, Manan. And by the way, all public comments will be available online. If you go to, we can share the link with you, but the same link where we have the announcement for the public comments, it also has a link to the archived comments that are being received. Okay, now there's another question by Zakir. Since the NTIA contract is going to expire on September 30th this year, and then the transition does not seem to be complete by then, from September 30th onwards till the completion of the transition, what will govern the IANF function? So I think maybe Teresa can answer that, but I can say that only yesterday there was an announcement or sort of communication by NTIA extending the IANA contract for 1 year till September 2016. Teresa, do you want to add something here?
Bahir, that completely covers it. They've extended it for the 1 year, also in light of the community discussions and obviously the community feedback of needing a little bit more time for this. I think you've covered the answer very well.
Okay, thank you, please. Another question from Bilminen. For protocol parameters post-transition, I see that we just removed the role of NTIA. So my question, how can ICANN address the missed role of NTIA? The role of NTIA was addressed in the other parameters. So I think the question basically about, yeah, who's replacing the role of the NTIA in this proposal. Mohammed, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's overall the track of accountability that's currently going should be resolving those issues and putting safeguards for the future accountability of ICANN. So the protocol community parameters, they see that ICANN currently is doing a good job in terms of its IANA functions role, and they see that there is nothing to be added, but they also in support of the current work regarding the accountability work and the measures that currently the community is introducing and planning to introduce post-transition. So that will safeguard ICANN and ensure ICANN accountability continue in this critical function. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohammed. Any other questions? I'm conscious that we just ran a little over time. Just to emphasize what all the speakers have said about input and feedback from community, I think this is very important for us in the Middle East. The whole issue of IANA and the relationship with the U.S. government has always been a key topic in many of the internet governance discussions in the region. So now it's time to raise your voice and, you know, provide your valuable input. In addition to what Manal said about the feedback on the ICG report, the accountability group has also put three questions to sort of guide those who want to provide feedback and to help them, you know, frame the input around those questions. The deadline on the accountability proposal is September 12th, and it's all the information is available in the same link of the announcement. I know that Fahad has already shared this link with you before beforehand. So any further questions on the process, on any of the, you know, aspects of the two processes, please do not hesitate to reach out to me or to Fahad. If you need also to spread the information across your communities and they need further explanation on any of the processes, you can also reach out to us and we'll be happy to set up separate calls with you from now till the date of the deadline. So I think with that, I'll conclude the call, and I'd like to thank very much our speakers, Teresa Manal and Mohammed, for their valuable contributions, and also thank all the participants for making the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.